It's a new day. At the Freedom Station, WFYL is working for your liberty, presenting news with no spin.
Thought-provoking. A local commentary. Your opinion matters.
Put the power back in the hands of the people.
Endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's a new day.
Search deep inside, find a better you. Trust the faith you have in what you do.
Good morning and welcome to a very special edition of It's a New Day here at WFYL, 1180 AM. That song you're listening to right now is called Be Brave. It was written by Debbie Wright in honor of her feature documentary. We will be talking today about human trafficking and human trafficking in Pennsylvania. It's a spotlight that we're shining on the issue because it needs to be talked about, especially here in Pennsylvania. I am Andrew Turner.
And I'm Bruce Stocking.
And we have with us in the studio today two very special guests, and we'll be talking to a few more throughout the day. One very special guest that I have right here is Carol Metzger. She's the author of Facing the Monster, How One Person Can Fight Slavery. And I also have Jordan Curling of Free, or the Freedom of Freedom and Restoration and Everyone Enslaved. And we'll be talking a lot with both of them today. Guys, thank you very much for coming in and being able to talk to us today here in the studio. This is a very special edition of It's a New Day. We will be going through this issue and this issue alone, which is very important in Pennsylvania. It's something that, a few months ago we talked to Debbie Wright about her upcoming documentary. And we were able to talk at length about it. So it was something that we wanted to continue to talk about.
It's a big
about.
Topic which has gone for a long time under the radar. A lot of people in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, as in our little PSA about this program, are ignorant of the fact of what's taking place. We're talking human trafficking here. And we're talking the sex trade. We're talking trafficking of our youth in this country, and they being pulled into a realm of literal slavery, even though the 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution forbade slavery in the country itself, it still exists, and it still exists under the radar. And we're going to be talking about this today, bringing awareness to this today. And I can guarantee for our listeners that this is going to come down to when you start hearing this information that's coming out, of, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, now you will. This is big stuff. It's been ignored too long. It hasn't been treated properly in the media. The media has barely touched it, if they touch it at all, and by our political employees in the state level, even on the federal level, aren't addressing it. So we were going to bring this to light today.
Absolutely. And as I said, with us today we have Carol Metzger and Jordan Curlin. I want to start off with you, Carol. Thank you for coming in today. It's a pleasure to have
you.
And you have, you have a book out. It's called Facing the Monster, How One Person Can Fight Slavery. And I think Bruce and I were just discussing that this is a modern-day slavery. So can we get a little bit of background on you today, on why are you here, and, what can we expect to learn today?
Sure. It's fighting human trafficking and child slavery, modern slavery, isn't something that I think that we just sort of pick up when we're 6 years old and think, I'm going to do this when I grow up. Far from it. When I was in India in 2004, immunizing kids against polio and doing some writing assignments about polio, I ended up at a center for children rescued from slavery. Absolutely rocked my world. At that point, I wasn't hearing anything about human trafficking and child slavery. It was sort of a fixture of Hollywood, something very sensational, and it didn't touch my world. So to come face-to-face with 60 kids absolutely shocked me.
Sure.
All of these kids had been rescued. One of them in particular named Mina. an 11-year-old girl particularly touched my heart, my life, and changed the path of my life. I found out that she had been rescued from the circus. 2 weeks before I had arrived at that center, she had been enslaved doing something called the Star Kiss, performing a high wire act, holding on to a rope in her teeth, twirling to the top of a tent without a safety net beneath her. Huh. I also found out later on that she had been forced into the sex trade. Now, she was 11 years old, the same age as one of my daughters.
Yeah.
Back in the U.S. So at that particular point, I thought, I can either forget I ever saw this because I can't live with this knowledge, or I can do something about it. So for several years, I learned. I did a lot of research. Back then, there wasn't a whole lot of information about it. So picked up information where I could, started talking to people who were working against it, learned how to do projects in India and overseas until I got sick. Had to be flown home from India, and I was grounded for a while.
Yeah.
Now, I had seen the map of the world map of slavery. I had seen that the U.S. was clearly one of every single nation in the world where it's illegal, but it still exists. But I thought, okay, if this is for real, then I ought to be able to figure out how to help it here. And that was the start of me finding out where it was here, which is your town, my town, our community. And working with survivors at a local residence for female survivors of human trafficking and commercial sexual exploitation, and that is Dawn's Place.
Perfect. Well, we'll get into a little bit later, you know, what are some of the solutions and how people can, you know, how people affected by this are really able to move on after this. But, you know, thank you so much for that intro to you. You know, I think internationally, yes, we can always, you know, consider this a problem. I think it's a big problem internationally. But right here in our backyard, as you said also, you know, we've got it happening here. And, you know, Bruce, you said it earlier. I think, you know, you don't realize that you think, you know, the United States is such a progressive nation. How could this happen here? And it does.
Well, we have a tendency of becoming blind to our environments as well. And this is another case of it because it's, as we were talking before we went on air, it is a disgusting, distasteful thing, and people don't want to recognize that and admit that it's happening. So literally they end up ignoring it, and thus the problem grows even more.
Absolutely. And it's now time I want to introduce Jordan Curlin of FREE, or as I said before, the Freedom and Restoration for Everyone Enslaved. Jordan, thank you so much for coming in and being able to talk to us today about this very lively topic. I mean, we really need to get the word out, and I think, you know, between Carol and yourself and the rest of us here, I think we're going to do a good job today at doing that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Thank you, Andrew. So about me, I work on an ambulance full time, and I had nothing. I had no idea about human trafficking. You know, what is that? What is the definition of human trafficking, sex trafficking? I had no idea. And then one day, pretty early on in my career on the ambulance, I had this patient who was telling me she's forced to have sex against her will. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, what is this? This doesn't happen here in the United States. And she was telling me that she's drugged, and she was actually coming off a high when I was talking with her. And she showed me the brand on the back of her neck where she was someone's property.
Like a cattle brand.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know, slavery doesn't exist in the United States. Or it doesn't exist in Berks County, because I live in Berks County. And then she told me she ran away multiple times, but she didn't really have anywhere to go because she was addicted to drugs. Her her pimp made her addicted to drugs, and he would always find her. So she was hopeless, and you know, told me she's a dead woman talking, and gave me tons of information about her pimp and the organization that he was with and whatnot, his organization. And she didn't want her pimp to get away with it, basically.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, he's going to kill me, but I need to tell you this stuff. So I had no idea what to do after the situation presented to me because to her, the police were paid off in her mind. But there's one police officer that was on the payroll of this gang. So she scared me to even talk with the police because I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
So that's when I got involved with FREE, which is the organization that I'm now a director of, because I didn't know, you know, who to talk to. So I luckily called a family friend, and they got me in contact with Bob Morrison, who founded Free, and they got me in contact with a detective I could trust. And I can say today that her pimp is locked up, and hopefully he'll be locked up for a while. They found around 75 girls working for that pimp.
Wow, that is that's a lot of people.
Yeah,
you know, and I think sometimes it's just a number, but those are people. And Jordan, thank you for that intro. And I think when we come back from our break, we'll be talking. We can go in a little bit more about Free, and Carol, we'll be able to talk about your book. So please stay with us this morning. It's as I said, you know, a topic that needs to be talked about, and we're talking about it here at 1180 WFYL. So stay tuned.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Trinity Associates Incorporated has been in the electrical power testing business for over 35 years. We've specialized in working for some of the biggest firms in Philadelphia, and indeed America. Not only do big firms appreciate our expertise because of their size, but they can compare us to our competitors. They appreciate our reasonable prices. In fact, many of the largest firms call us year after year for sometimes 35 years in a row. We can provide the same service for smaller firms, bringing the same expertise and reasonable prices. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated for your electrical power testing needs and a free quote. Not all electrical power testing firms are the same. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated at 610-876-6428. That's 610-876-6428. Visit their website at trinityassos.com. That's trinityassos.com.
Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. Today we are shining a light on human trafficking in general, but we're talking about human trafficking just before the break in Pennsylvania. We've been talking with Carol Metzger and Jordan Curlin and the various things that they do in respect of this cause. Right before the break, though, we were talking with Jordan and his background and why it is that he works for Free, or Freedom and Restoration for Everyone Enslaved. And can you tell us a little bit more, Jordan, about Free? You know, we got a little bit of a background there to it, but it sounds like with your organization, there's a lot of safeguards in place to kind of help these people that are being affected.
Yeah, absolutely. So Free was founded back in 2009 by Bob Morrison, and Bob was doing a lot of missions throughout many countries, and he experienced human trafficking issues, you know, through his missions. And sometimes when we do missions in other countries, we kind of fail to realize that the same issues lie at home. That's kind of what was going on. Back in 2009, a massage parlor had been raided in Bob's backyard in Amity Township in Berks County. And he wondered, you know, if there were organizations working on this issue in Berks County, Pennsylvania. And he did some research and didn't find a whole lot. So he had many meetings with many professionals and basically realized human trafficking wasn't on the radar of law enforcement and service providers in Berks County. So what Bob did was he called the Reading Eagle and said, hey, we're going to start an anti-human trafficking group in Reading. Can you put a press release out letting people know this? And that's kind of how Free started. They started meeting at a church and just basically focusing on education and awareness. Mm. And that's what our main focus is today, is education and awareness of community and professionals. And then we're a faith-based community, so our second focus is leading the community to prayer. And we realize this issue is bigger than us and that we need God working through us to end this issue, basically. So our focus is education and awareness. We don't really have the opportunity to really work with victims that often. I work on an ambulance and I see victims on a monthly basis, and it's tough though, because a lot of them they want help, they want to get out of it, but they don't know how, and they don't really trust you.
I'm assuming that in this position, a lot of them would be hesitant to trust. And I guess from the story that you were just telling before, they're almost brainwashed not to trust. You know, she was saying, I don't know how to get away. I can't even go to the police. The police are paid off. There's people on their payroll, you know, and I think at that point in my life, in your life, I think I would do the same thing. I don't know who to trust. I don't even know why I'm telling you right now. And I think I'm a dead person just for telling you.
Well, you know, that commentary on the state of affairs in the law enforcement community itself is their inadequacy to deal with such topics, is that when you get people that are victims, the law enforcement in this nation is something that you should be able to go to, the trust, to know I can go here and for protection. And when you get into a situation, this sounds like something out of a bad B movie, where you can't go even to the police because they're not trusted, because I think, Jordan, you mentioned that allegedly there was a detective that was...
No, there was just a regular police officer.
A regular police officer that was on the take with this thing.
But, like, you know, there's that one bad apple.
Sure, yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
talking about the police, you know, or...
No. I'm not, yeah. not referring
and,
to that.
And in Berks County, we have some great detectives, and on this case, they actually... took the victims aside. They had to arrest them under prostitution, you know,
sure,
at first.
Sure.
But they're just trying to get information out of them. And they actually had a few go to school, and they paid for cell phones and stuff like that. So they were trying to help them. The issue was the victims ended up going back into the life just because they're brainwashed to think that that's all that they're good for.
Yeah.
You know, that you're nothing. This is all that you're good for. All that men want is sex. All that you're good for is sex. So it ends up, yeah, ruining.
Yeah, and I think you know, you really said it, that the police are you know, great around here for that kind of stuff. If you go to somebody, I don't expect, if I go to a police officer, that they're going to be you know against me. I don't think that at all. I do think, however, and Carol, you can you know, kind of shed some light on this. Internationally, that may be more of an issue than it is here at home. I think our police force here at home, our boys are in blue. Boys, men and women in the police force are good for a lot of things, including a lot on this issue. But again, as I was saying, she was brainwashed to think that they weren't, mm-hmm. which is scary, because if that's what you think, then there's a whole other list of there's a whole lot of other problems that we can deal with. So do you find that internationally, is there a lot being done? Is there any communities like what we have here today abroad? What's being done in, you said you were in India.
I spent time in India and Nepal. But as I said, I do volunteer at Dawn's Place, which is a local residence for female survivors of human trafficking and commercial sexual exploitation. I think the thing to realize is that it is a local and global issue. So you're going to have situations where there are victims who are from other countries, and yeah, they're going to feel exactly the way Jordan's patient did. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of corruption. There are also local women who are equally enslaved, and that is the word for it. They are enslaved over here. I trust the folks that I've met from the FBI and from Homeland Security, the local detectives here in Chester County, where I'm from, I have high trust for them. They are learning, along with the rest of us, what human trafficking is, what it looks like, what its impact is, and they are beginning to change also. They're beginning to have a clearer understanding that these mostly women, when we're talking about sex trafficking, but a few men too, they are victims, not criminals.
Yeah. No, yeah. And I think that's important to point out as well that, you know, with this education and awareness, Jordan, that you were talking about, and that's something that we're doing right here today, is just making sure that people are aware of the issue. Because you don't know the problem until you – so you don't know what to do with the problem unless you know the problem. So if we know what's out there, we know what we can do in fight against such a heinous crime.
Yeah, and I think, you know – the fact of identifying this, it's more than just the sex trade as well. There's other aspects to it, but the sex trade being the major driving force, apparently, behind all this thing. But maybe start getting into a little bit of how, well, we've identified people that are caught in this thing. Who are these people? What kind of people are more susceptible to fall into this trap, to get caught in this? How are they doing it? Maybe to bring that for folks can be a little bit more up on the fact that what they're seeing, and they might question some, well, what's that all about? You know, not to say that we're going to go on a witch hunt everywhere to look for this, but, you know, a little background on who these people are that are getting in this. And then, of course, with the, and I'm going to be blunt with this, the dirtbags that are plying this trade in doing, starting examining that for people to get a little bit feel of it as well.
Well, I think we should let's hold off on just identifying the victims for just a minute, just because we do have a break coming up, and we're going to be talking to Jen Sensing of North Star Initiative. You know, they're specifically focused on helping individuals that have been victims of sex trade, kind of like what you were talking about, Carol, with the organization that you work, you volunteer with, and everything. So, when we come back from our break, we'll be continuing our topic today, which is human trafficking globally, human trafficking locally. And all of the things that can be done in fight against, you know, as we've been talking, modern-day slavery, which is, you know, absolutely heinous in this day and age that this can still allow to be continued. So we are going to take a quick commercial break. When we get back, we will be finishing up, we'll be continuing our discussion. We'll be talking about this all 2 hours today, folks, so stay tuned for more of It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL.
Search deep inside, find a better you.
Do you know how this country got started? Just how well do you know your history? Do you get your history by watching movies? For a more in-depth look,
tune in Saturday morning from 9 until 10 to H2O on AM 1180 WFYL.
And remember, a nation that forgets its past is doomed to repeat it.
Who said that anyway?
News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Rescue teams in Turkey are racing to reach coal miners trapped underground. At least 205 are dead. Dorian Jones in Istanbul.
The shifts were changing in the mine, where we understand there was an explosion as an electrical transformer, and that caused a big explosion, and that is believed to have ignited a fire within the mine, which has been raging for many hours. And that resulted in hundreds of miners being trapped deep in the mine, as far as maybe 4 kilometers from the mine entrance.
And there's still fire and deadly gas swirling around down there in that mine in Soma, Turkey. More than 20,000 evacuations ordered, then lifted in San Diego County, California, where calmer winds lessen the threat of a wildfire reaching homes, but it's still burning.
The fire is about 800 acres in size and only about 5% contained at this point.
County Fire Chief Javier Maynard. Fox News, we report, you decide.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Allow me to take this opportunity to offer a word of thanks for those of you who financially support our work here at Pennsylvania Family Institute. Without your help, we wouldn't be here to stand for the sanctity of life, or to defend marriage from redefinition, or to fight for religious liberty from the growing attacks that are coming from our government and radical atheist groups. Without your support, we wouldn't be able to provide services like our primary and general election voters' guides, or to fight against sex trafficking, save churches from unjust taxation, or, for example, to keep child evangelism fellowships access to the schools. We wouldn't have been here to stop Planned Parenthood's efforts to force their version of sex education on our public schools, or to help pass health and safety guidelines on abortion clinics that have closed at least five of them across Pennsylvania. Your support really does make a difference, and I want to say thank you. For those who'd like to find out more about Pennsylvania Family Institute and how you can support us, go to pafamily.org.
Come in today to Chick-fil-A.
Graduation is the perfect time to have Chick-fil-A cater your party. We offer both pickup and delivery of all Chick-fil-A favorites. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the fun at Chick-fil-A Audubon.
God loves the United States of America. His light has guided our nation through the years, and there have been numerous examples of Christian involvement in the political process, impacting the nation in a positive manner. Because of the perseverance and willingness of Christians to take a stand politically, legally, and yes, even financially, many positive outcomes have resulted, including the establishment of the first hospitals and universities, abolishment of slavery, elimination of polygamy, and the practice of purchasing wives, the institution of a national education system, and the establishment of the idea of private property rights. As you can see, Christian participation in the political process has mattered and still does. Why don't you, as those who've gone before us, take a stand for the things that matter? You can make a difference. Your vote matters. Vote in every election and encourage other godly citizens to vote. Then, instead of being an ineffectual bystander, you can become a person of positive action. Vote. It matters.
Search deep inside, find a better you.
Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. It is 34 minutes past the hour, and for the past 30 minutes, we've been talking with Carol here and Jordan. We have Carol Metzger and Jordan Curlin about sex trafficking, about human trafficking, and about the things that have been going on globally and right here at home. With this issue, and we're going to continue talking about that now. We have on the phone with us this morning Jen Sensing of the North Star Initiative. So, Jen, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you on this morning.
Thank you, Andrew. It's good to be here as well.
We've been talking all morning, and we're going to continue to be talking about human trafficking and an issue here at home as well as abroad. And I know you work for the North Star Initiative, which is specifically focused on helping individuals that have been a victim of sex trafficking. So can you kind of give us a little background on the North Star and what it is that you do?
I can. Yep. We formed actually a couple years ago. We initially started kind of as a task force group that kind of was trying to do different things to impact human trafficking. But out of that group, several of us, just as we delved into research and what was really going on with the issue of trafficking, what became apparent to us was the fact that we could be doing all these efforts that we were to reach out to victims, to lobby, but a lot of what we were beginning to hear and read were in regards to the actual victims, that even if they were recovered and found and identified, there's so many obstacles to kind of find them and recover them. So even if you get through all of that these victims currently, there was just really no place for them to go. There were not shelters that were equipped they may have been able to come out, but that were equipped to really handle their individual specialized needs, especially with some of the ones who came out of sex trafficking, you know, had just experienced trauma that none of us could imagine. And so even on top of that, we were finding that, you know, the victims were being put into the prisons and the detention centers because of not being identified correctly. They kind of didn't know what to do with them. Provisions weren't even in place in the states at this point for our own domestic children. And so this just kind of really became the heartbeat for who we were, and we realized that this was kind of the gap that we were supposed to fill.
Absolutely. You know, it's tough to talk about because, you know, you may not have a clear idea of what it is. You may not have a clear, you know, path on what you can do. And this is a problem that isn't just here in Pennsylvania. You know, it's all over the place. And what is North Star specifically doing in order to help a lot of these victims?
Funny, I'm currently calling. I'm actually down here in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, for a training specifically for our organization and in regards to what we're doing. You know, our mission is to restore women from trafficking for freedom, for life, forever. Our heart is to bring a restoration to the victims. And so to do that, we're devoted to providing support specifically, although there's all kinds of trafficking in Pennsylvania. I'm sure that, you know, you guys have probably discussed in possibly the last half hour. We are specifically focused on sex trafficking, just because there is such a different nature of trauma and individual care. So our heart is that we're going to address this particular issue by addressing the victim's physical, psychological, emotional, and spiritual needs. And so to do that, we're currently in the process of opening a home in Lancaster County, and it will be called The Harbor. And at this point, we do have the property, and there's an existing home that's going to come down, and we are going to raise up a new one so that it can really do what we need it to do for these women. And we're hoping by the time the funds are in that we will be able to help anywhere from 7 to 10 women who are brought out of sex trafficking, and kind of really to bring them into a restorative atmosphere that, you know, basically with the goal of returning these women to a full life. And so I'm actually currently even down here in Georgia. We're getting the training to be able to take back for our staff and for the people who will work with these women in the home to help come alongside of them as they enter the harbor.
Jen, this is Bruce Stocking. I'd like to welcome you to the program. And just a question for you. What do you estimate? How many trafficking victims would you estimate are in the United States?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure, you know, as it's been expressed, it is really difficult because we're at the forefront of all of this to really have good qualitative evidence on this. But from all that they've been able to gather, we estimate that as far as how many are being brought in, they're estimating that number has grown upwards to 51,000
to
60,000 that are brought in from other countries internationally, funneled in to the U.S. And you add on top of that, you look at the situation with our own children. What has happened is that traffickers have realized it's much easier to recruit in our country. You know, if there's lucratively all the costs, the risks of bringing the women in, they've started turning to our own children. And so at this point, the numbers range anywhere from 100,000 of our own domestic women and children, but they estimate that really could be more closer to probably 300,000 of our own on top of 50 to 60,000.
That is incredible.
I mean, one is too many.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, that's astronomical. So, Jen, why do victims always seek help? You know, do you get a lot of people that are seeking your help at North Star?
You know, you would think that people would be knocking down our door, wouldn't you, with this issue? When you hear about it and you hear what the victims are under, you would believe that we have got people knocking down our door, and we do. We have some that have come and reached out for support, some local victims. But part of the dilemma with this issue is, and I'm not sure how much of this was previously addressed with discussion, is kind of what these victims are under, what it takes for them, frankly, to even be identified. You know, many of them, if they have come here from other countries, you know, at this point they came thinking they were coming for a better life and a job, only to come and, you know, the trafficker takes the documents, you know, immediately puts them through typically a season of kind of seasoning them and making sure that they know who is in charge, which involves, you know, things that we can't imagine, from beatings to starvations to, you know, psychological manipulation. And so, those things into, if it's a sex trafficking victim, on top of that, they have to go out and make their quota every day with the Johns. And so they're under duress to have to kind of meet that demand. And if they don't, there are consequences to what they do and don't do. The pimps have gotten very good at managing these victims to stay in the situations where they currently are, through threat of harm, threat of hurting family members. And so you look at this whole kind of situation, and then on top of that, if you don't have a social service provider or a first responder who is educated or aware of what is happening in our country, you know, they don't have the community member and the community person to be able to kind of enter in from the outside to be able to help pull them out and identify them for who they really are.
Absolutely. And Jen, before we let you go, what are some of the ways that, you know, people in your community can get in touch with North Star if they want to volunteer, if they want to, you know, if they are a victim, how would they get in contact with you?
Yeah, the best way would be you can find us at our website, which is www.northstarinitiative.org. Come find us there and learn all about what we're doing. You can also contact us at our general website email, which is info@northstarinitiative.org, are probably the best ways. You can also contact the general phone number, which would be 717-826-7597, and someone there can answer questions. We are really looking for the community to really rally around the mission of what we're doing, rally around this issue of awareness. You know, we absolutely believe it's going to take the community. We believe we have the house, but it's going to take this community to make this place the home that it needs to be for these victims. And so, you know, our kind of rally cry right now for North Star is for the community to rally around this home and getting this home open to be able to bring these women in so that we can really truly help address the needs.
Absolutely. Jen, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to be able to talk to us about this issue. So we do have to head to a commercial break, but once again, we just had Jen Sensing on from North Star Initiative. And we'll be, you know, we do have to head to a commercial break, but when we come back, we'll be talking a little bit more about some of the ways that we can help. So we will be right back.
accountable to Him. This worldview determines your view of science, arts, politics, education, and all of life. It's also why those who reject creation reject God, truth, the sacredness of life, and embrace godless evolution. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network, saying if you value life and hold a biblical worldview, you must believe that there was a creation, an act of God.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
And now, another golf confessional brought to you by Golfsmith. Recently, a man told us he'd finally learned to deal with his anthropophobia, an overwhelming fear of other people. How? He went to Golfsmith and got the Nike VRS Covert 2.0 driver with its high-speed cavity back design. Now he hits the ball so far, he doesn't have to be around anyone on the course. You don't need a psychological disorder to get the Nike VRS Covert 2.0 driver. You just need to go to Golfsmith. Anything for golf.
I'm in Yosemite National Park to talk Gold Bond Rapid Relief Cream with the Miller family. So how many itchy bug bites and rashes do you have?
33 bites.
34.
And a case of poison ivy.
It itches.
Do not scratch.
Miller family, relief starts now. Gold Bond has twice the itch-fighting medicine of hydrocortisone cream.
Ooh.
Plus aloe and vitamin E. It's fast relief on contact.
Feels better already. Who's up for a hike?
Look at the big kitty.
I'm out. Gold Bond Rapid Relief Cream. Relief starts now.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL, 49 minutes past the hour, and today's topic of discussion is human trafficking and how awful it is what we've been hearing in the past.
I tell you, those numbers were incredible ran out, and what really got me is the estimate of 100,000 children here in the United States, and looking further at some of the notes I had on that, the reality of the numbers could be upward to 300,000 of our own children being trafficking in the United States. 300,000 of our kids.
Yeah. I mean, I know how that makes me feel, but I want to hear from our guests. You know, what does that number mean to you, Jordan?
Well, there's only 3,000 counties in the United States, and they estimate that around 100,000, 300,000 children are enslaved. So, I mean, it's happening in our counties, in everyone's county. And do you want to talk a little bit about that?
What does the number of 300,000 or upwards of 300,000 children, you know, really mean to you?
If there were three children enslaved, I think I would be out here still doing the same work I'm doing. It's a hard number. A lot of people want to know the evidence. Where is the evidence? How do we count them? There are organizations who do street counts. If you talk to, in particular, social services agencies that are working with people who are vulnerable, and by say vulnerable, I mean people who are immigrants, people who perhaps are homeless or close to it. They're hungry. They don't have enough education. They're jobless, particularly in the United States. People and kids who are from homes where there is either physical violence or sexual abuse going on. These are the people who are vulnerable and therefore at risk for trafficking. If you talk to the social service agencies, they'll tell you who these vulnerable people are and who are at risk. The question is, do they know that they are being trafficked? Do they know the definition of human trafficking?
Mm.
You know, do they know slaves working unpaid, unable to leave, held by violence or threat? It's hard to figure out what those numbers are, hard and fast. So I would almost encourage people think a little bit less about what the numbers are and where they came from and start thinking about the issues behind those numbers and start working against it.
Yeah.
Pick a solution and act.
But the fact I can't get beyond what really is upsetting to me, it's our children.
Yeah.
And when you start messing with our children, then, I mean, people such as myself get fired up on it.
Sure.
And, you know, you hear various things. Yeah, it's wrong in that they bring people in here, but it's our kids.
Yeah. Well, let's talk now about, Joan, you were going to say something?
Yeah, well, domestic minor sex trafficking, so sex trafficking of our children is the fastest growing crime in the U.S.
Wow.
And that's just mind-blowing. And, yeah. I mean, it's our kids that we're talking about, yeah, and you get fired up about it, but why are these kids getting involved in it? Mm-hmm. And the majority, I think they say around 80% of these children that are enslaved in sex were molested or sexually abused by a family member or someone before they were 18 that they knew.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's definitely, you know, something that we will talk about in the second hour, you know, who is most at risk for this. And we've just been kind of going through that. But I really want to get into ways that we can help. And we'll be talking about this a lot in the second hour. But I know we've got hotline numbers and there's things to look out for. And, the organization that that Carol works for and that you, Jordan, work for, what are ways that people can get involved, volunteer, and ways that they can help? What if somebody's out there right now who's listening, who's sex trafficking, what do you want them to know? Who is being sex trafficked? What do you want them to know?
The first thing I would want anyone to know, whether they are a victim, a survivor, or a regular, ordinary person, just like you and me, just like your listeners out there, is know that there is a national human trafficking hotline number. Anyone can call it, whether you are a victim or a tipster. That number is, and I'm going to group these numbers. They're going to sound funny together, but it works. The National Human Trafficking Hotline number is 1-888-3737-888. And I'll go ahead and repeat that for everyone. It's 1-888-3737-888. Call if you suspect that something is going on. If you see someone who looks like they're being controlled, if it looks like there is, a nail salon where a woman seems like she's being held there against her will. If you see someone who is working in the fields, agricultural fields, or mowing a lawn, and something appears to be wrong with that situation, call that hotline number, or you can text. You can text Be Free, which is 233-733, and the folks at the other end of the hotline number will take information. They'll find out what you're seeing, and then they're going to feed that information back to the appropriate law enforcement, whether that happens to be local, FBI, or Homeland Security.
Well, wow. Some folks will ask, then, why don't you just call 911 and call straight in law enforcement?
Well, the reason why you want to call the hotline there, Bruce, is because whenever a phone call is made, they make a case.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, when you call 911, it's usually you just take care of that situation right then and there.
Would know, too, in your background with ambulances, you know, what happens there.
Yeah, well, you get called out when someone dials 911, and you take care of the situation. You know, if someone has a mental health issue or they're acting out, you just go and you defuse the situation. You take them to the hospital, then you just dump them off, and you're done with it. I found that a lot of our mental health patients, not a lot, but a few of our mental health patients have a history of sex trafficking or are currently being sex trafficked.
Wow.
So, and the hospital and EMTs just don't really know about it. You know, we're not really educated on this. Like myself, I had no idea. But you want to call that hotline no matter how big or small you think that tip is, because if a lot of phone calls are starting to be made on a certain block or in an area, that could tip the detectives. I mean, if it's a small tip where you saw two people arguing on a street and you think she might have been a prostitute, that's a tip, and you know it's pretty small. No one's going to go and make an arrest on that or really do anything about that. But if there's 20 or 30 or 40 phone calls on that block, then that's going to alert the detectives, and
absolutely,
then they'll look at it. So it's sure, very important to call that hotline if you suspect human trafficking.
Yeah. Andrew, if I could interject, that is correct. If you suspect human trafficking, please call that hotline. If you see, however, a child in immediate danger, call 911.
Oh, absolutely.
That is a
911.
Yeah, you know, you're at a truck stop, and you see what appears to be a 12-year-old girl at night knocking on the door of a truck, that's a 911 call.
Yeah.
You can follow it up with
sure,
the National Human Trafficking sure, hotline number
sure,
to get that case registered.
Most calls that go in, an officer responds. The officer does have to fill out a report on activity during his shift. Usually a case number is drawn, at least it starts the record going as well. So it
yeah,
does give, when they do a follow-up or a call does come in, to the hotline, and it gets to the proper law enforcement agency, they can see if there's a case log by any of the patrolling officers for that area.
And of course, you know,
we're talking evidence here. What you said earlier was a hard thing to get on certain cases.
So with something like this, I would just say listener discretion. I mean, you know, what's the old you know, adage for pornography? You know, I know what it is when I see it. You know, it's the same thing with that, like, you know, with you know, whether you should call 911 or not. You know right away I should call 911. But I like what you said, Carol, and that would be to call 911 if you see something like that happening, then follow up with the helpline. You know, with the National Sex Trafficking Hotline, which is 1-888-373-7888. And you can't really forget that.
You can, when you call that line, which, by the way, has multiple languages, any language you can think of, there's someone to interpret. But when you call that number, let them know that you did call 911, but you're making sure that if you think that's human trafficking, whether it's sex trafficking or labor trafficking, that someone's following that up.
Absolutely. We are going to head to a commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about a new law on the books, or hopefully on the books soon enough, that will be you know, a real driving force behind what we're talking about today, in preventing it, or in prosecuting those who are committers of this crime. So we'll be right back with more It's a New Day and our spotlight on human trafficking. So stay with us, folks.